Sunday school up in my married couples class, and I've been enjoying it. I've loved the book. I love some of the things. Peter is just a real person under the inspiration of the scripture. I love the way he pins it down. But I want to preach a message tonight, and again, I know that this is not necessarily on the resurrection, but it's all around it. If you read the whole chapter in context, he even says in the end of the third chapter, he talks about there about some baptismal things, and then he says at the end of verse 21, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And so it talks about this resurrection, and it talks about how he's talking about the Christian life and that it's worth living. And he's going to enter into chapter 4. I want to pray before I give you the title tonight, because I really need to take off running after that. Amen. Excuse my voice tonight. It sounds like I went through another Restore-a-thon, but we had college days, and I was around a bunch of college students, and they were slow listeners there on Thursday night, and I preached to them, and I just thought they ought to know who we were before they left. Amen. And there will be no mistaking who we were when they left that place. If they didn't get the big posters on the back wall, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, amen. And my wife said that at one point I got so red, she thought I was going to pass out in the aisle. But I'm passionate sometimes when I preach, amen. I just want to make sure that they understood what they were getting themselves into. Let me just say this about a college. You know, I think that's only fair. They ought to know what they're getting into. You know, there's a bunch of other Bible colleges that won't give you the handbook about what the rules are until after you get there. That's deceiving to me. Now, I'm not against them, but I'm just saying, you know, show up and then pretend it's God's will that you come here, but when you would have balked at the rules to start with. I just feel like we ought to tell you who we are, what we stand for, where we stand, what book we stand on, where we've always stood, and then if you come, praise the Lord. But I don't want to trick anybody into coming and then try to hold on to somebody that didn't want to obey the rules to start with. Amen. All right, I'll get off that. Now, the thing that really borne this in my heart, and I mean the Lord led us here, and I believe the message that God would have us tonight. But, you know, the world has gone crazy about a lot of things. But one of the things that kind of gets me wound up is this thing about gun control. All right. I believe gun control is two hands on a weapon. All right. That's good gun control. Now, I'll go further to say this, that, you know, the idea that, you know, we in America, we are blessed to have the Constitution and the Second Amendment and all the things that we ought to fight for and try to hold on to. But let me say this, even in Jesus's day, they had the Roman soldiers had outlawed them having weapons, and Jesus told them they were about to go through some tribulation. And I'm not talking about the tribulation period, I'm talking about just living the Christian life. And he told them to go get some swords. All right, I'm just going to tell you, you know, don't think that this Christianity is this pacifist Christianity where you can't protect yourself and your family from crazy people. And I think it'll prove out even in this last instance that they tried to make out to be a hate crime. And the only hate crime that has been that's been predominant over these last few years is the hatred of guns. That situation, almost 90% of these things that go on are people with mental problems. And they didn't get weeded out, or somebody didn't identify them. And the problem is because the world has mental problems right now, and it's harder to discern than ever who's crazy. Anybody that tells you that we came from a piece of mud and then we grew legs and crawled up out of the ditch, we dropped the tail off, and then we started to know our ABCs and start to recite them is crazy. They've lost their mind. It takes a bent mentality and more faith in crazy stuff than it does to believe in Jesus Christ and that there's a creator that set everything in order. So again, the people that are trying to find the crazy people are crazy, and therefore they're not weeding them out like they used to. All right? Amen and amen. So tonight's message, amen, I need to preach on taking up arms. All right, now, don't get scared, okay? Now, I'm not calling for a new revolution or anything like that, and I know that where we would be branded, and I'm not saying that. I really do believe that Christians in this life, I know where we live, and I know that a pack of us, you know, hillbillies or whatever they would call us, that had radical ideas of actually keeping and giving and having the thing that we were guaranteed in the Constitution and the things that are regulated to us, that we stand and believe an Old Glory ought to still fly, and nobody should wear it or burn it. But they should all stand. Nobody should bend the knee to it. Amen. Somebody said this week, and again, I'm getting off, but I'm going to have a good time doing it. Let me just say this. Do you know it's not like this everywhere, folks? Not everybody cares. We are a young country, and I don't ever want to. Somebody said, you know, that they were talking about their country, and nobody feels the way. You know, I well up with pride, good pride on the inside of me. When the national anthem is played, when I cross my heart and I pledge to the flag of the United States of America, I mean, I have something well up inside of me, and I think I've been born in a land that is worth dying for. Our Constitution is founded upon the Word of God. It starts out with things, and we believe things that no other country would want to state, that men were created equal under God. And that is worth defending and standing up for, that men should live in freedom. And all these things that we can say about our country, but I'm just going to tell you, there are some spiritual things in this Christian life. As much as I love my country and my flag and all the things that I believe about this nation and even the Second Amendment, there are some arms that the Christians, oftentimes God has given us to defend ourselves so that we can have a good and peaceful life on this side of heaven, that we don't take those arms up in this Christian life, that we don't arm ourselves with that. We are often, I mean, everybody around the corner here, I realize everybody, you can't hardly buy a gun or get bullets today because everybody's worried that there's going to be a day when you can't get them. And that day more than likely is coming. I believe that every nation that has ever fallen is when people start saying you can't have guns, or this, you can't have this kind of gun, and now you can't have guns, you got to give them back to the government. That's a terrible day, folks. That is them unarming us so that they can just plow or put on us whatever they wish. They want to be able to put any yoke that they want upon you. And so I don't believe in that. I don't believe it, but I do believe this. We don't have anybody but ourselves hindering us from taking up arms that God has given us. Even if we wanted to preach a message on the whole armor of God, which is not necessarily an armament, but is a defense for the Christian life. And so we preach on those things, but oftentimes it's not as popular as other things that we preach on. It's not popular to put the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. And listen, I'm just going to tell you that there are some things we in this Christian life, we need to realize that we are in a real battle. Just like in our country, we have a battle between liberalism and conservatism. In the spiritual realm, there is the same battle. There is spiritual good. There is the old man and the new man in my flesh. In my spirit, there is a spiritual realm that is godly, and his will be done. And there is a group that rebelled a long time ago, and they still want to cause trouble. They realize that they are a defeated foe, and they have no chance to win, but they want to mess up everything that God wants to see done. They want to try to throw a monkey wrench in everything that he'd like to see done in your life. If they could take a Christian and trip them up so that they fall down and disappoint the God that died for them and paid and rose again for them, can you imagine how much joy the devil side gets? He thinks about that. I think about that all the time. He can't get my soul. He can't have any victory. I'm going to heaven no matter what because of what Jesus did, but I want to live victorious because I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," when I arrive on the other side of glory. But I'm telling you what, the devil wants to trip me up every step of the way. He wants to win each piece of the race because he can't win the race in general. It's already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to trip me up. He wants to trip you up. We need to arm ourselves. I better pray before I'm going to need to pray about my time because I am wound for sound tonight, and hope my voice will hold out through this thing. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what you've impressed upon my heart. We've laid the foundation for what you put upon me, God. I pray that you just let me be your messenger, boy. Help me to deliver the message, boy. God, I pray that you just help my voice. Help me, give me unction to function. I pray, God, tonight that the word of God would go into the hearts of your people. Holy Spirit, do the work that I cannot do. soften the hearts of people and let them hear what they need tonight to be able to get through this week for you. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter number 3, if you would, go to verse number 8. I must hurry, I must hasten. We're going to jump around. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. But taking up arms. If we're going to take up arms, we got to see in verse 8, we see Peter has written this. He's writing this to Christians, and he says in verse 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. All right, I want you to jump over to chapter 4. So he goes on and tells us some things about how these things are going to be. How in the world am I going to be pitiful or courteous? How am I going to have that mind, putting that one mind all together? How am I going to do that? In verse number 1 of chapter number 4, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So I believe this, if you want to see this, why did Jesus suffer? He suffered because of obedience to the Father. He had a mind of obedience. Now we're going to go back and look at some things, but I want you to get this. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight, but I want you to get this. If you're going to arm yourself, number one tonight, you are going to arm yourself with the right mindset. You must arm yourself with the right mindset. Most people lose the battle of the mind. They don't, it's not because the devil did something or the devil climbed up on your shoulder or he actually tripped you up. It's because that it got tough. The going got tough and your mind got going and it got running all around on all the things that could happen. Most people worry about things that never come to pass in their life. They spend all their time rather than meditating upon the Lord and upon his promises in the word. They spend all their time worrying about all the things that could happen or all the things that other people might have said or all the things that people might have done, and they think about all these things rather than what God has done for them and what God has paid and what his promises are for the future. And so here in Philippians chapter number 2, I didn't mark it, so I'll get there. I hope you're there. I'm going to read. I want you to look with me at chapter 2 in the book of Philippians, and he says something that every one of us knows. For me, if I need to be encouraged in the Lord, I go to chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. And he starts out with this. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, an obedient servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God has a will and a way for every man, woman, and child to have victory in the Christian life. You will have trials. You will have troubles. We do live in a sin-cursed world, but one of the things that we have failed to do so many times, a lot of times when we talk about gun control and things that are going on, every time, if we looked at the statistics, the states that allow people to carry guns, to be armed, are always more safe than the places that restrict gun violence. They have more violence because they know a criminal knows if he can get a gun, 9 times out of 10, he's not meeting anybody with one. But when you got a state where you can open carry, or you know that 9 out of 10 people in that state got a gun, you've got bad odds, and you don't want to pull one because you think one might be pulled back on you. And I'm here to tell you, most of us around here at Landmark, we don't just tote little ones and baby ones. We carry big bullet guns. And we don't, because again, we don't want to shoot twice. We want to shoot once. Amen. And say one shot, one kill. I didn't say that. I'll say, so anyway. So, but here he says this. I mean, we have some consolation. If there's any consolation, if I'm going to take comfort in anything, I can take comfort that in this life, Christ gave me his mind. He bought his mind. He took his mind and put it in print for me so that I could sit and read about his mind and I could put his mind in me, that his mind was a mind. He took it upon him the form of a servant. If you say, well, what kind of mindset do I need? A servant mind, one that is an obedient mind, one that is obedient to Christ, not only to Christ, but his word. You say, Brother Parsons, that you're running in circles. No. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is to get this idea that we start thinking worldly thoughts. The world takes the Bible and tries to say, well, you need to serve God, but this. You need to have balance. Listen, there is balance. The balance is that I'm saved now. I'm not out in the world. I don't have to act like the world. I don't have to be like the world. The balance is Jesus jumped on the scale with me, friend, and throwed this thing way out of balance. And now if I throw myself on his side of the scale, now we can be victors in Christ Jesus. Hey, folks, don't get a wrong mindset. Start with the right mindset. If I'm a shooter, boy, I almost brought a gun tonight, but I didn't want to mess anybody up. I thought maybe people would get up, because I thought it'd be a good prop. But anyway, so, and it wouldn't have been loaded, but you all wouldn't have known. Amen? When you go in there, you go in to shoot or even to defend yourself, you got to have the right mindset. You know, somebody that's of the right mind that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you ain't looking to kill nobody. But you ain't looking to be killed either. Amen? And I can tell you this. Go back to the book of 1 Peter with me. You know why? I mean, as an American, what am I going to die for? I thank God for the piece of dirt that I was born on. I thank God for here, and I thank God for all the blood that was spilt, for the ideology of the country that I was born upon, that I was born in. But it isn't dirt that I would die for. Amen. I love the Eastern Shore of Maryland, where I grew up. I think it is God's country. But I still wouldn't die for that piece of dirt. But if you come to my house, that piece of dirt that I live in right now, that all my kids living under that roof, and you wanted to do harm to somebody in my home, buddy, you have come to the wrong door. You found a man that would give every ounce of himself and his last drop of blood to defend what is his, not the television set or anything else or the money in my pocket, but the blood that flows from these veins and my heritage that lives inside that house. You will not touch anybody. I'll unload everything I got. I'll take every bat, every chair. I'll swing everything until I got no ounce of who I'm left to have. But listen, how about as my Christian and my Christian faith, my spiritual arms. Hey, in my Christian life, am I exhausting myself for the inheritance that I have in Jesus Christ, for the family of God that I have? Would I swing everything and give everything and go out of every way that I could for the things of God and the brothers and sisters in Christ that I have here tonight? Would I give everything for them? Would I throw all the other things away and throw myself carelessly, not carelessly, but carefully, at the things that would try to hurt the church of God, the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we stand for, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope? What do I have the mindset that I'll go to the carpet for the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and the Lord Jesus's church here on earth while it's still here? Would I go to the carpet for the inheritance that God has laid up? This place here, everything that I work all week for, everything that you, on Sunday, you come in and work your bus route and work the nursery and you work whatever it is, trying to make sure that God's people can get saved and walk the aisle and join the church and everything that you've invested in your whole life. Why wouldn't you stand up for what it stands for? We got to arm ourselves with the right mindset. When something comes, preacher said it even this morning, we didn't close the doors even once because we weren't going to stand for that. We were going to stand up. There's a line drawn in the sand. I can't close what God opened. Yeah. Amen and amen. Arming ourselves. He says here, look at the first chapter. He says in 1 Peter, he says some things that are very important about his inheritance. Look at it. He goes through, he talks about in verse 1 about where he's at, all the believers scattered about. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Do you know what I was born again unto? Man, the right mindset of obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, look at this, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, look, this is what we live through, though, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't know. You really believe that this is something about obedience? I really believe it's about obedience. I really believe that I ought to go to the carpet. This inheritance that's spoken of, we are the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he's coming back, when the Father says, go get your children, go get your bride, the church, go get those that you died for, go get those that you paid for. Our job on this side of heaven, he sanctified us through his death, burial, and resurrection, but there's still a sanctifying process for the Christian on this side of heaven. To clean up our heart and our mind and to arm ourselves with the right tools that we need to battle in everyday life. We are going to, according to chapter 1 of this book, 1 Peter, we are going to find that there is heaviness of manifold temptations. We live wrapped up in an old lost flesh. When I'm baptized into the baptismal tank, I'm baptized in a body, in this body, into a body of doctrine. But the body that went down and came back up is still, listen, it doesn't get saved. The water in the tank in this chapter, that third chapter, if we read it through, and I don't have time to teach it tonight, you would learn that you're not saved because of baptism. It's a picture. You're supposed to leave the old man down and sanctify yourself and become a new man. And that starts in the mind. The mind is what controls this body. It tells the hand what to touch. The mind, when I decide, man, bless God, I'm not going down to the club anymore. I'm saved. I'm going to church. Hey, that's a mindset. I can't go there. That's not pleasing to my Lord. Amen. Hey, I'm not going to go fishing on Sunday anymore. I'm going to go to church because bless God, I say, man, you're supposed to be in church. There's all kinds of manifold temptations that'll take you out. But one of the things you've got to arm yourself with is realizing that God's church and his inheritance that he's got laid up for me and for you in this life and in the next is worth arming ourselves to protect. We got to get the right mindset. Go back to chapter 3 and look at the right mindset. He says in verse number 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. So one of the things with families, I have children in my home. I've talked about this before. I'll talk about it again. I'll just tell you that I've got to be the one. I've got to be the head of the home. And a lot of times that's going break the fight. See, what kind of fight? It's all this bickering. You know, most of the time you come into the house of God, people aren't throwing blows. You get into Brother Parsons' car, they're usually not throwing blows. All right, if it gets to that point, there's no words anymore. All right, if my boys are ready to throw blows, I step back and watch a little while. All right, I want to see who can get a lick in. Amen. That's good for them. But when they're just calling each other names, that ain't good at all. When they're just bickering with each other, trying to tell each other which one's better, there's no profit in that. There's no profit in the bickering words that go back and forth. And you know what? It always starts out with one of them did something. Maybe he didn't get in the car fast enough. Bless God, I got to get home. There's things to do. What are you doing? Well, I had to get my shoe. It fell on the ground. You know better. I got to get home. I got to get to this. And they're arguing about nothing. Nothing about time, about something. Then they get into telling each other which one's faster. Then they get arguing over which one's faster, getting in and getting out of the car. Or then they're telling dad, you know, dad, you never let me sit in the front when I was that age. You know, that's when Gracie gets up front. But anyway, all this stuff goes on. But you know why? Because there's a lack of compassion for each other. They're showing a lack of love one to another because now they want to nitpick each other rather than having compassion. You know, compassion, we are more apt oftentimes to have more compassion on a man on the side of the street that looks like a bum and you're ready to go give him $10 than say, God, lead me to the person in the church. You know, one of the most blessed days in my life, I'm not kidding you, somebody came to me broken and had a bill they had to pay and I did not have it. And I knew that person came to me and God burdened my heart and they were just sharing their heart with me. They didn't expect me to pay the bill. But, you know, I bowed my head, and then rather than going and say, you know, telling everybody my prayer request, I bowed my head and told somebody about it that could do something about it. And I bowed my head and did that. I went on and preached and taught my Sunday school class. Somebody came up to me after Sunday school and stuck money in my hand. Said, I hope this is a blessing to you. And I gripped their hand, and I said, not to me, but I know who needs it. And I walked across the church and I stuffed it in their hand. And I said, this didn't come from me. Amen. You say, well, Brother Parsons, listen, I'm just telling you, that's what a church ought to be, folks. Right. A church ought to be a bunch of folks that have compassion, that let God lead them to help the persons that need healing. And not because you heard it on Facebook, and not because you heard it in the nursery, or not because you heard it in the bathroom, or you heard somebody talking about it, but because you heard it in your heart from an almighty God. That somebody's broken and that somebody has a need. Now, I'm not saying that you can't use some form of social media to find out something about somebody to pray for them. But all too often, a lot of our sites that we get on and talk that we have is all about bickering once among it. We wouldn't call it bickering or we wouldn't call it gossiping, but a lot of it is just there. Yeah. Finally, brethren, compassion one of another. Love as brethren. That means just like it was your blood, because it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I would go to ground for my blood. I've got brothers and sisters. I love them. I would give my life for them. But I ought to get in the same mindset about the brother in Christ that sits across the aisle from me, that steps into the house of God, that has joined the local church. That's my blood. I'll go to the end of the earth for them. Amen and amen. He says, love his brethren, be pitiful. That means pity somebody when they made a dumb decision. When they did something wrong, it's not your job to tell them, you shouldn't have done that. I could have told you that was wrong. That's a lot of help. The Bible says to be pitiful. Pity them. Be courteous to them. How about this? Number two, arm yourself with the right reaction. Arm yourself with the right mindset. When you're a shooter, you got to go out with the right mindset. I got to keep my gun in the right place to stay safe. I got to keep it in the right position. If I'm not using it and I'm not ready to use it, I got to keep it safe. So I keep my mind in the right place. You know, the Bible tells us to think on these things. Amen. So I keep it in the right place so I don't get out of whack. And then when I'm going to go and I'm ready to use it, I'm in the right mindset, then I got to be careful and I got to be minded that I'm not going to react to everything. I'm going to look at a good target. I'm going to see a good target. And until I know that that's the target that I'm going to shoot at, I don't pull the trigger. I got to have the right mindset. And then I have to prepare myself to react the right way. If I'm going to take up arms in the Christian life and I'm going to be an active Christian, I got to have the right mindset and then I have to have the right kind of reactions in the Christian life. That means when I'm up, have you ever seen anybody go through? You've all seen it probably on TV. All these different policemen and army guys that run through drills and they use pistols and rifles and they're running. And you watch them and they're not supposed to shoot everything. They're only supposed to shoot certain targets. And you watch their mindset. You get on the field and it's like they switch a gear and they get in the right mindset. Hey, in the Christian life, we ought to always be in that gear, in the right mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we step out on the field and we're around other people, we got to know that some people we got to have pity on. Some people aren't, everybody ain't supposed to be shot. Amen. Jesus came around, had pity on all the sinners, and shot every Pharisee he came along to. Amen. He was like, bam, 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 knocking them down. Generation of vipers, whited sepulchers, bam. I mean, he was just shooting them all down. And you say, well, who am I supposed to say? Listen, the Bible says to not worry, you know, don't worry about somebody that's a scorner. And then over here, he said, tell them off. Don't tell them over here, tell them off over here. You say, how's that? That is discernment. That's getting the mind of Christ and knowing when and where to speak and to what, letting the Holy Spirit of God guide you. He gets into this and he says here, verse 9, how do I react? Not rendering evil for evil. You want to know how to deal with your brother? Somebody did evil to me. Well, you know, sometimes I found that some people don't even know they did that. And if you were honest, you don't even know they did that. You heard somebody say they did that. Right. Or you think they did that. Or somebody else that started the gossip train, it pulled out of the port with them trying to mud somebody over. And now the train pulled in and they got everybody along the way. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise. You know what contrarywise means? That's almost like saying but. It's like the opposite side of the street. So if this is evil for evil, if this is railing for railing, contrary, give them a blessing. Amen. You know what Jesus says about that? If they really are your enemy, right now you think they're their brother. And the only way I'm ever going to turn their heart, two things happen in the Christian life. You heap blessings upon somebody and either they'll react and realize you didn't hurt them to start with, or you were sorry about whatever happened, and they'll turn and you will restore your relationship, or they'll get mad because you just heap coals of fire upon their head. Because while they still want to hate you and they still want to gossip about you and they still want to run you down to everybody and everybody that'll turn an ear to them, you just blessing them. You just blessing them. Not because you want to hurt them, but because you love them and you're trying to be restored. Sometimes you don't even know what's happening, but somebody, I'm just telling you, a lot of times we take up arms against the wrong people. A lot of times we go shooting into the same army that we're on. A lot of times we don't have the right mindset and we don't have the right reaction and we get friendly fire. And we got to be careful that we don't shoot our wounded, that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, and we don't shoot off our mouths where it don't belong. Amen. Take arms. Arm yourself with the right mindset. Arm yourself with the right reactions. I believe this. I played football long enough to know they trained us every day. Get on the ground and get up. Get on the ground and get up. Get on the ground and get up. I used to think they were just evil. I just thought my coaches hate me and they just want me to fall on the ground and get up. But then I realized when I played football, 90% of that is falling on the ground and getting up and doing it faster than the next guy. And if I got knocked down, not being out of the play, but getting up and getting back in and getting after the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And in the Christian life, after a while, I'm slow, but it took me a while. I used to just think, oh, the Lord just got all these rules that he wants me to follow. He don't really love me after all. He saved me, but he just saved me to a tough life. But you know what? I wised up one day and realized if I did it in obedience God's way, if I put his mindset on, I think this ain't too bad after all. And then when I have the right reaction, I realized people react back to me the right way. And I was like, this is an awesome thing. Why didn't I try this long ago? Why didn't I give the right reaction instead of trying to be a little snippy with everybody? Instead of trying to be guarded with everybody and think everybody in the church must have it out for me. Amen and amen. Do you realize, I don't know if you know this, but if you believe in the same Jesus that I do, that I'm going to the same heaven you are. Amen. And we're going to spend eternity together. So we might as well start getting along now. Amen. Amen and amen. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't that be a good mindset for everybody to get? Hey, and lastly, how about this? Arm yourself with the right heart. Look at the scripture with me. He comes all the way in here. He says in verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This book is written to believers. If you don't believe that a believer can do evil, you've not been a saved very long. And he, look, who he is, he, I'm sorry, and he, woo, and who he is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good. So he just says in verse 13, so who in the world is going to harm you if you're a follower of the good? Then in verse 14, he says, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Do you realize this, folks? You know that everybody ain't going to get right at the same time. Some people are going to hold on to speaking evil with their lips a little longer than you are. And so we can't all wait to get right at the same time. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you know the best thing you can do is just get it right. And if even though if you've been at war with somebody else, just suffer. Suffer it out until God gets a hold of their heart. You do blessings to them. Somebody's got to turn. Somebody's got to arm themselves with spiritual things. Somebody's got to get right with God before the whole thing can get right. He says, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Meekness is not weakness, folks. It's strength under control. Do you know what I found? I used to always apply this verse, and we often preach this verse, as being ready to give someone else the gospel. But in context, when you've stopped your side of the evil, we're not going to have a spat no more because I quit. I'm going to get right with God. I've gotten my mind right. I got my reactions right. And I've got my heart right with God. And now I'm going to make it right with you. And every time we have interaction, I'm going to try to bless you. I'm going to bless your blesser if I can do it. Amen. And then when somebody says, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You know we had a thing. You did evil and I did evil. You were getting mad and I got mad. It was our thing. Why did you quit it? You can give him an answer because it wasn't pleasing my God. Because Jesus wasn't being glorified in our little spat. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hey, folks, tonight, I know it's not a message of... Can I tell you just a little story to end it tonight? I read a story this week about a Russian soldier. And he stood his ground. I thought it fit well with this message of taking up arms. And the little Russian man stood his ground as all the people fled from his town, as Napoleon's army came in to take over. He was a woodman. He took trees down. He had his axe in his hand, had a little place on his belt to keep his axe. And when he realized that all these French soldiers drew down on him, he put the axe away. He sheathed it. And the men had him dead to rights, and they all knelt down. And I mean, it was like a firing squad, and they were about to call down, and then he just tightened up and stood proud of his nation and his country and was ready to die. And one of Napoleon's soldiers, the leader of the group, said, hold your fire. He said, no, this man's got too much courage for us to kill him. And so they took him and set him. They built a fire because they had taken the town. And they said, we're not going to kill you because of how you stood valiantly before your death. He said, but we've got to brand you. We got to put a brand on you. And they set it in those hot coals, and they put that man's hand down on a stump of a tree that he cut down himself. And they stuffed the brand into his hand. And they drew it back, and he saw a large N in his hand. He said, what does this stand for? He said, now you're Napoleon's. And the man stood there and thought to himself, I was born a Russian. I believe in my country. I've always been loyal. His mind started to go to all the things of his loyalty.
and to who his loyalty lied with. And he reached and he pulled out his axe. And the men took a stance like he was going to run at him. And with everything in him, he cut his hand off on the stump. He said, "That may be Napoleon's hand, but this man is Russian." And they killed him there for what he believed in. Folks, all I'm telling you is, as Americans, we are ready oftentimes to die for the Second Amendment. We'd stand and we'd grip and take hold and but listen, in spiritual realm, for our church and our church people, we need to arm ourselves with the right mind. We need to arm ourselves with the right reaction with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to arm ourselves with the right kind of heart and the right kind of spirit to share ourselves and to live and to help each other. Because listen, this is all we got. Everybody else outside of the walls, not everybody, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. The world is against us. Spiritual battles are here, and we got to stand together in the Christian faith. And I know this, even for us, sanctify your heart. Think about this. Jesus said, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. We've got to sanctify ourselves in this life and clean out the things that have dirtied us up and that get us off track and get sanctified unto the Lord again and live for him every day with the right mind and the right reaction and the right heart. Would you stand to your feet? As the Lord's led you today, we're going to have an invitation. If God spoke to your heart about having the right reaction or the right mind or the right heart, would you come and do business with God? Brother Burt's coming to sing and the pianist is going to play. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, boy, let tonight be the night of salvation for you. That Jesus that died on the cross and laid in the tomb and rose again on the third day, he rose again in victory so that you could live a victorious Christian life, loving one another. The way we are marked, the way the world knows that there's something different about you and me is when they see love in us, not when they see us bickering, not when they see us having issue with each other, but because they love us. Brother Burt, would you sing?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily.
Tonight, God spoke into hearts. People have come and people are still doing business with God tonight. You don't have to walk an aisle, and maybe there's something between you and God right there in your pew tonight. As a church member of the Landmark Baptist Church, you can determine in your heart to have the right mindset, to get in the Bible and just beg God to give you the right mindset, to have the right reactions when you things happen with other believers. You can ask him to help you with even this idea of cleaning up your heart. You say, well, I'm saved, I know, but listen, we get things in there. We pile things up, and we need to sanctify our hearts according to the scripture. That's to purify it. That's to cleanse it out. We so need for God's people to have a pure heart unto God. So important. Brother Bert, would you sing one more for us tonight?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all.
Amen.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. Appreciate you so much. We do love you, and I hope that you know that when I preach like that, it's not something that I want to do. And may you say, well, you know, you preach like that all the time. I'm sorry. I love the Lord, and I'm going to preach what he tells me to preach. Amen. And I love you enough to do that. Amen. And I just want to tell you that, you know, as a church, you know, if we get in the right mind, and I believe this is our church is headed in such a right direction. It was always been heading that way. And I desperately want to stay in this Laodicean age of Philadelphian church that loves the Lord and keeps our love right. That if our love is right, then our service and obedience will be right to the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I want you to just ask you, I wanted to share praise with you. We took an extra offering this morning right at the end for one of our college students is up at Hiles Anderson. Brother Josh St. Villas, and I just wanted to make sure that y'all knew that exactly what I told you needed is exactly what came in. Amen. And so praise the Lord. God's right and on time every time. Amen. And so you pray for him this week that he'll be encouraged, that the church is taking care of a burden that he needs. That's, folks, what I was preaching on tonight, that's just exactly what the church needs to do for each other. Amen. And it encourages us to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Amen. And so also let me ask you to do this. We have our seniors on the senior trip. And pray for them this week if you think about them. Pray for the Maxwell. She's pregnant. She's pretty far along. Just pray for her. Last year, she got, you know, it wearied her out, and she came back and had a little bit of episode, broke her shoulder. So pray for them specifically if you think of them this week. And pray for Brother Bert. There's all those testing going on this week, right? Standard tests. So, man, I tell you, they're testing everybody. Amen. I told you there's trials and tribulations. The Bible said it was coming. Amen. Manifold temptations. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear God, we thank you. Take us home tonight safely, God. Help us to stay in your word this week, to walk with you, God. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us, God, to love the brethren. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.